Praise the Lord. Amen. You know, this is beside the point, and I don't really encourage what I'm going to say to you, but it's like, you know, our president's renaming everything. You know, we have a crazy system of naming planets after Greek gods, really? Mercury, Venus, Saturn, Jupiter, they're all Greek gods. Let's have Trump start renaming them. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Just kidding, but come on. We don't need a Greek god as a planet, do we? No. But we need Jesus. And he knows their real name. I doubt if he calls Mercury, Mercury. Very seriously doubt that. So, is God king or what? Has he been that king to you this week? Well, I finished the last sermon I gave on John chapter 17, in which I said, he may give you these things, he says, I have commanded you, that you love one another. So the end result of him being the vine dresser, the one who prunes the vine, is that you would love one another. How important Jesus put that commandment to his disciples. It shows it right there. And as before we dive into verse 18, you know, I hesitate talking about this part of the chapter because it seems like I always get tested on what I teach. Scripture says that let not many of you teach because you have stricter judgment. Well, Lord, I need your mercy more than judgment. And mercy triumphs, makes a public display over judgment. Isn't that what the scripture says? Yeah. Well, Jesus in verse 18, he's talking now to his disciples, not talking to the Pharisees and just a general public here. He's talking to those he's called to himself. That's you and me too. He says, if the world hates you, you know it hated me before it hated you. Now, I've been through different job experiences, not recently, but when I was working in the world, there were people that did not like me, period. End of statement. They would sooner walk away than hear what I had for them, which really was the word of the Lord for them many times. I'm not saying that I was perfect in any way, but they needed to hear what God had for them, and they weren't willing to listen. Jesus says, remember this, as perfect as I was, they hated me. Before they hated you, they hated him. So we can go in with our armor on, the full armor of God, saying, I'm ready, mostly, sort of, for the onslaught of the enemy. And he doesn't like you either, does he? I gave the testimony about my recent time in Northern Dutchess Hospital. It was clear to me the enemy wanted me dead. It was clear to me that the Lord did not want me dead. You know, and I saw the face of the demons that were active at that place and time. And as soon as I said, well, there is no other person, no other name, but no other person that I can submit myself but you, Lord Jesus. At that point, the enemy's face turned from a grimace to a horrible face, and he took off. And he just said this in parting, I'll be back. That's the same thing he said to Jesus, really. But what happened was interesting after Jesus was tempted for 40 days and 40 nights, that it says the angels came and ministered to him. Now, how do you think they did that? I've been thinking about that. Well, touch. We lay hands on one another. That's one of them. But the angels' voices and song are a wonderful thing. And we can start singing praise to the Lord in the middle of the night. Listen carefully because there's someone singing with you. They like to do that. Now, the angelic creation, I don't tend to be an expert, but they don't seem to have the same ego problem we do. As yet, none of them have identified themselves by name to me, even my guardian angels. I've asked them, so who are you? He's not telling me. because it's not important to him and to or her as an angel to, for me to know that. Because once we start focusing on the angelic host rather than the Lord, we've missed it, haven't we? Isn't that what we said this morning? Who said that? You said, right? Why do we want this? Any other? There is no other Lord but you. He says, if you were of the world, said, well, Lord, I've done things wrong. Wait a minute. If you are of the world would love you its own. Yet because of you, you are not of the world, but I have. Why? Because I have chosen you out of the world. That's why, therefore, the world hates you. So grab a hold of this truth. You didn't choose God. He chose you. Out of the world. You are no longer a part of it. You may have to still buy groceries at twice the cost, gasoline at four times the cost, but you're not a part of that system. You're part of the Lord God, his kingdom that rules and reigns. And that's what we pray. He said that's what we should pray, that his kingdom should be here on the earth just like it is in heaven. His will be done. You're not of the world. I have chosen you out of the world. And therefore, the world hates you. Why? Because the Lord chose you. Remember the word that I said to you. Servant's not greater than his master. They persecuted me. Oh, and then they're going to persecute you. Oh, you wonder why you have trouble at work or anywhere. It's because of the Lord. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all of these things I will do to you for my name's sake. We're talking about names, right, Brad? It's really important to know the name of Jesus. You know, I appreciate people saying, in the name of our Lord, we pray. End of statement. In the name of God, we pray. Well, I like that, but I like even more the name of Jesus because he's a person. It's just like the Holy Spirit. We don't just call spirit of whatever come down from heaven. Jesus, come down from heaven. By your Holy Spirit, reside in me. Change me of these wicked things that are still in my heart. Well, you still have some changes to go through. Is that right? Yeah, we do. Okay. It says, if you have kept my word, they'll keep yours also. But these things they do for my name's sake, because they, why? Because they don't know him who sent me. And who is he talking about? He's talking about the Father. There's only one way to get to the Father. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the light. If I had not come and spoken to them. In other words, if his witness wasn't there, things would be a lot different. Anyway, when he was speaking to his disciples here and now, they would have no sin because his testimony was there. So is your testimony before them. But now they have no excuse for their sins. So they don't have an excuse because of creation. They need only to look at the stars and planets and know how wonderful God is, or a thunderstorm, whatever else. You know, I hear the rolling thunder. Yeah, and they're without excuse. But they're also without excuse because of you and because of the Lord in you. I think that's one that I would underline. He who hates me hates my Father also. So you can't do both. If I had not done among them what the works which no one else did, he raised people from the dead, remember? Then they wouldn't have sin. But they saw that. They saw it. They saw the love of God before them. And now, because of that, there's sin in them. But now they have seen and also hated me and my Father, because it disturbed their idea of what God was and who he is. They always thought, well, God is just commandments, so we just have to obey Old Testament law, and we're good to go. We only need to sacrifice some sparrows and some rabbits and some lambs, whatever, and we'll be all right. They still believe that today, by the way. But they don't have any sacrifice, so they're double sin. But this happened that the word might be fulfilled, which is written in the law. Quote, They hated me without cause. They're like deranged somehow. The world is deranged. They have a logic that defies logic. And you are here to say, no, the real truth is Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And when Pete Hegseth says that, it means more to me than when I say it. And he says, well, Jesus is Lord, not me, not Trump, not anybody in the cabinet. Jesus is Lord. You know what? His officers really like that. I can tell you, Hillary being deployed, my daughter, says a wonderful testimony of how that word reverberates within the armed forces as they're being deployed today. Well, the rejection is just going to get worse, but his kindness will get better. Well, it doesn't get better. You just know it more. Verse 26. But when the helper comes, helper is somebody who helps us. Do we need a helper? Oh, God, yes, we do. Whom I will send to you from the Father. So who does it come from? From the throne of grace. The Spirit of truth. There is only one truth who proceeds from the Father. He will testify of me, which he did when he was baptized by John. And you will also bear witness. You will also bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. So they were, even before they were filled with the Spirit, they had a witness within them because they saw the miracles that Jesus did. They saw the Holy Spirit descending on Jesus, and it says he remained upon him. Many times in the Old Testament, the Spirit came down and visited people, but they didn't remain there. I mean, David did a lot of good things, but he also did some bad things. Is that true? Yeah. Now, Jesus is the best prophet ever, right? Even the Muslims think he is. I think that's kind of hilarious, because if he was the best prophet, then they should listen to him. Verse 1, chapter 16. These things I have spoken to you or prophesied to you, that you should not be made to stumble. So these things aren't designed to trip you up. Well, they'll put you out of the synagogues, though. Yes, the time is coming. So whoever kills you, so suffering even to death, will think that they're doing God a service. The Apostle Paul being one of them. And these things they will do because they have not known the Father nor me. And what was the first thing they revealed to Paul? Himself. But these things I have told you, that when the time comes, no, it didn't say so you can know everything before it happens, that when the time comes, you will remember. Who's going to keep you remembering? Holy Spirit, that I told them to you. And these things I do not say to you at the beginning because I was with you. Here's the work of the Spirit. Verse 5. But now I go away to him. These are really tragic words for the disciples to hear. They have devoted their life to this person, Jesus. His words were true. He was performing mighty miracles in their midst, things that they would never dream, walking on water, fishing with nets from one side of the boat to the other, healing the lepers, healing those and raising them from the dead. He says in verse 6, because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Oh, I don't want to go there. A place without you, may it never happen. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It's to your advantage that I go away. For if I don't go away, the Helper, that is the Holy Spirit, will not be able to come. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will do, this is the verse Paul Brennan always quotes. You like this one, right, Paul? He likes this verse. He says, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and judgment. Well, those three things. What is he talking about? The Holy Spirit's going to convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. They get it. In other words, they got it all wrong. They got sin wrong, they got righteousness wrong, and they got judgment wrong. Sin, because they don't believe in me. Those who sin don't obey the voice of God. That is the voice of the Lord Jesus in them by the Holy Spirit. Of righteousness, because I go to the Father and they see me no more. There is only one righteousness, Jesus. We speak the name of Jesus for a good reason. of Jesus' judgment, because the ruler of this world, who is Satan himself, has already been judged. Somehow we think that's not true. Verse 12. And I can imagine turning to his disciples like, and almost in a remorse, I still have many things to say to you, but you can't bear them now. When I was first filled with the Spirit, I think I heard him say that. I have a lot of things to teach you and for you to understand, but you can't bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, that is the Holy Spirit, he will give you all wisdom right away. No. He will guide you in all truth. That's a big difference. So when you're filled with the Spirit, you don't have immediate all wisdom and strength and power. You got a long ways to go to be conformed into the image of Christ. For he will not speak on his own authority, nor did Jesus, but whoever he hears, he will speak whatever he hears, and he will tell you of things to come. So that's why we can prophesy in the Holy Spirit things that have not happened yet, for the same reason Jesus would tell us, so that when they do happen, we'll remember. He will glorify me, not himself, for he will take what is of mine and declare it to you. So who does the declaring? Not you, but the Holy Spirit. All things that the Father has are mine. Well, that's a statement I'm sure the Pharisees would love to jump on. All things that the Father in heaven has are yours. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. We need to hear the word of God, the word of God that brings life to our bones, the word of God that gives us strength to stand up in the morning from our beds, the one that gives us the courage to walk forth from our home to church or wherever we're going and work or to the place of that God wants us. He says a very sorrowful thing to them. I can't imagine him saying this, but he did. He says, for a little while, you will not see me. Again, a little while, and you will see me, because I go to the Father. Now, that had to be a very confusing word to them. They didn't really fully understand it, probably until the day after Pentecost. It says, then some of the disciples said to themselves, what is that he says to us? A little while, and you will not see me. And again, a little while, you will see me. This is crazy stuff. And because I go to the Father? And they said, therefore, what is this when he says a little while? And why do we not know what he's saying? Do you ever think that when the Lord is speaking to you in prayer, that you don't know what he's talking about? You don't understand him. Jesus says that my ways are far above your ways. So there are going to be times when you just don't understand God. If it hasn't happened to you yet, it will. But there's something you have that the world does not have. That's the Holy Spirit, who will lead you into that understanding. Verse 19, now Jesus knew that they were desired to ask him. He knows all things. He said to them, why are you inquiring among yourselves? So, for a little while and so forth. Again, I say a little while. Most assuredly, I say to you that you will weep and lament. There's a time of sadness coming. Weep and lament for the world will rejoice, and you will be sorrowful. Well, in many parts of the world, that's exactly where they still are. But your sorrow will be turned into joy. Oh, yeah. You know, when they released me from the hospital the other week, there was a lot of joy. Especially when I saw my car pull up, my wife driving. I said, this is pretty cool. I'm driving in luxury now. And there's nobody's going to stop me, no nurse, no one's going to run and say, get back in bed. Which they did more than once. This is interesting. Going through troubles in your life, listen to these verses. A woman, when she is in labor, Now, I've been through three of those with my daughter, another four, and the labor was not fun to go through for me as much as her. You know what referred pain is? It's when you get pain in the left shoulder and really your right shoulder hurts. But there's also that, what is it called, Cheryl? When you're identifying with your wife's birth. She's having pain, so you have. Yeah, that's it. Okay, sympathetic pain. Well, I'm really good at that, actually. Sympathetic pain. I was in pain most of her childbirth experience. In fact, I had gotten, we went to Lama's class, and you get these little lollipops and things and get all the stuff you need for your wife. Before she went into labor, I had eaten them all. I was feeling it long before she was, apparently. But not so. Woman, when she's labor, has sorrow because her hours comes. Oh, this is going to be rough. But as soon as she is given birth, instantly, there's no longer. She doesn't remember the anguish. Why? Because of the joy of a human being that's being born into the world. Oh, if the abortionist could understand that. Therefore, you now have sorrow, but you will see again, and your heart will rejoice. Your joy, now here's a promise, should underline. Your joy, no one will take from you. A joy that's eternal joy, no one can take that from you. Not even the nurses. I'm sorry, I'm picking on the nurses. There's some really good nurses, by the way. But there's something God wants to reside in our heart that's more eternal than the feeling of bad happenings or good. There's a joy that goes beyond that. Even Jesus, it says that he endured the cross for the joy that was set before him. What joy was set before him? The church. He saw today, then. That day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask in the Father in my name, he will give to you. Now listen to what he's saying. Not the Holy One of Israel, not Lord, Lord, but Jesus in my name, Jesus. That's why somebody said the other day, that song is not scriptural. Well, it is too. You speak the name of Jesus. Here it is. In my name, he will give you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy be made full. Wow. Thank you, God. Now, Jesus is saying, okay, you're going to go through some. Now, his disciples he was talking to, most of them were going to be dead, or if not all. Historically, I think all. They were going to be persecuted and martyred. These things I have spoken to you in a figurative language, but the time is coming when I no longer will speak in figurative language, but I will tell you plainly about the Father. Now, interestingly, the Gospel of John is probably the only Gospel that has the most pure Greek text. So that's a good one for Don and Dale. They love to quote Greek. So he's going to speak plainly, not in the Greek, but he's going to speak plainly to you. And that day you will ask in my name, and I will do. Do not say to yourself, I shall pray to the Father for you. For the Father himself loves you because you have loved me. You don't love a religion. You don't love the methodology of your religion, but you love him, Jesus, and have believed that I've come forth from God. And we confess that every Sunday, every time we get together. Praise the Lord by his nature, by the relationship that we have with him personally. Not something I have just by reading a text or the Word of God or by coming to church and doing certain things, but I have it because I know him. It says, Jesus says, I came forth from the Father and I have come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. Now, that doesn't get plainer than that. No figurative speech. I'm going to leave you guys. You're going to be on your own for a little while. disciples said, see, we see you're speaking plainly to us. Let's go back to the figurative speech. No, you're no figure of speech there. Now we are sure that you know all things. You have no need of anyone should question you. But we believe that you have come forth from our Father in heaven, God. And Jesus answered him, do you believe? It's like trying to take the faith that's deposited within and encourage it. Do you believe it? Do you really believe it? Indeed, the hour is coming. Yes, and now has come. And you will be scattered, each to his own, and will leave me alone. It's going to be nasty stuff going on. Yet I am not alone because the Father is with me. I've heard people say that he was in the cross. He says, Father, why have you forsaken me? And the Father left him. That is not true. He said it because he didn't feel the presence of God, but God never deserted him. Are there going to be times when you don't feel the presence of God? I'm one. But I know he doesn't desert me. He has spoken to us over and over. I will never leave you or forsake you. He draws near to the brokenhearted and the downcast in spirit. Close is he to our hearts. How wonderful and full of joy we can be even in those times. And he says, okay, guys, you've heard the worst of it. This is the worst. These things I have spoken to you, that in me, you're going to be able to make it through it by the skin of your teeth. No. That you may have peace. The peace of God isn't just a word that describes happiness or a lack of anxiety. But the peace of God has existence in itself, far beyond what the word means. The peace of God, when you really feel it and understand it and embrace it, will change your life. In the world, what happens? You have tribulations. But be of good cheer. Let the spirit of rejoicing be with you. I have overcome the world. And since he lives within you now, you are going to overcome the world too. Amen? So Father, we thank you, Lord God, for coming to us this morning. And whenever we come to you in prayer, Lord God, whenever we come to you, it doesn't have to be a formal prayer even. It can be just, Lord, help us. I often wondered as I was asking the Lord for help, as I'm going through bladder spasms in the hospital. I actually had most of the symptoms that Dolly Parton had. Kidney failure, kidney stones, cancer in the kidney and the bladder. All of those things. She didn't make it in this world, but she made it in the second one. God could have taken me, but he didn't. The wonderful thing about what God's doing in our lives is he gives us the peace and the provision that we need for that time, which may be different than anybody else. As I was sharing the testimony of that time in the hospital, so many, what I learned was a lot of people have similar testimonies, if not the exact testimony of the Lord meeting them in the crisis. So, Father, we ask you, Lord God, to go before us. Lord, not that you push us to go anywhere, but you call us by name. And that was Brad was saying, call us by name. He knows every one of our names. That's a blessing. It's not a curse. And it's not meant to be a curse. It's meant to be a blessing. And Father, I ask you, Lord God, to wake us up to the love that you have for us. If we have not heard your voice, Lord, that we would begin, our ears would be unstopped. Our eyes would be uncovered. That we would hear and understand your voice. It would no longer be a mystery to us, but it would be an experience that we have of who our God is. And when we share with the world who our God is, Lord God, that they would be overcome with joy, saying, can this be true? Can you hear God? And you can say to them, yeah, I do all the time. I don't know how that happens, but I do hear God. Well, I do know how it happens. I come to him. I come to no one else. And Father, I ask you, Lord God, to purify our hearts, that we come in the purity of the Holy Spirit, that holiness that you talk about, that you're going to impart to us so we can approach the throne of grace, the Holy One of Israel. And Father, I pray for the stupidity of Islam. Lord, you would wake them up. There's so many that you are waking up, even in Iran today, but even beyond those borders. How about the United States? How about in the Congress? How about even in our own communities? How about New York State? I think it was kind of interesting that they had a plan to bomb the New York State House where most of their friends live and work. And I can remember very well when we were first starting HIV and trying to figure out what it was even. Many of the state people that were in the state legislature came up and said, well, New York has already approved of a gay marriage, et cetera, so we don't have to worry about that. So, whoa. Lord, forgive us of our sin, that we have come short again and again as a people, as those call themselves Christians, we have come short. But when we devote our lives to you and to our relationship with you, you change all of that. We get up in the morning, we say, by your grace and mercy and loving kindness, and the first step that we put on the floor, we know it's a solid rock. We're not walking in our own strength. We're walking in your strength, your wisdom, your revelation, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah.